The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Kuf Kavet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem terihanu b'gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah shelema. Sarah bat Rachel. ויוסף בן שרה ורחמים בן אדל. אין נא רפא להם, אין נא רפא להם, אין נא רפא להם רפאת הנפש ורפואת הגוף ורפואתם כבבו ובכן ינסום ונאמר אמן. We begin today's דף עמוד כ"א עמוד ב', and we are three lines from the bottom. The Gemara says a story. יהוא עובד כוכבים דאבא כאמר לי לישראל. The goy told the Jew כתול אספסתא. Go cut for me with Shabbat. Go cut for me some grass. V'shadeh l'chiva'eh. Go feed it to my animals. V'shabetah. V'ilah. And if you don't listen to me, katil nalach, I'm going to kill you. K'dekatil nal l'ploni bar Yisrael, like I killed this other Jewish guy. De'amli there, because I told him, bashili k'derab v'shabbat. I told him, I want you to cook for me on Shabbat. V'na bashili. And he didn't cook for me. So what did I do? V'katilteh. So I killed him. Shama'ad debitu. Anyway, the wife of the guy that was supposed to cook on Shabbat, she heard what the goy said over here. Ve'ata dekamed abaye. So came from abaye. He wants to know the goy is being masiyah lefitum over here, and he wants to know. She wants to know. She allowed to get married based on what happened over here. So the comes the Gemara and says shahita talta legle. So Abayim made her wait Shalosh Negadim. Now she says two interpretations over here. Either actually three holidays. Why? Because the custom was that all the great Tamidachim would come up to Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Negadim. And therefore, Abayim wanted to confer with the Gedolei Yisrael to find out if this lady indeed can get married or not. That's one interpretation of the Shalosh Negadim. Others explain that she brings that on the memorial day of a great Tamid Hacham that died, so all the Talmidei Chachamim would come to the kever and they would ma'amid yeshiva al kivro. They would have like a limud by his kever. So therefore he waited for that day so the Talmidei Chachamim will be there so she can go ask the rabbis to find out if she's mutar or not. In any event, what happened? Amar la Rav Adab Rava, zil kamed Rav Yosef. You know what? Go in front of Rav Yosef. Deharif sakina. He's like a sharp knife, which means he can give a clear cut. It's conclusive halakha. Sakina had even like a sharp knife cut right through the sugya. As lakameh, so she went in front of Rav Yosef to ask him if she's allowed to get married or not from this case over here. So pashat, so he solved the question. Meha matnitin. So it says in the following Mishnah, Oved kuchavim shaya mocher perot b'shuk. You have a goy. He's selling fruit in the marketplace, right? Ve'amar, he said, perot halalu shel orlahin. He says, the fruit that I'm selling over here is orla, meaning it comes from a young tree. That's what's in its first 3 years of growth. Okay, now the orla obviously is asur. Shel azikahin. Now we're going to learn from Rashi in his second interpretation, and we'll go back. Azikai learns is the name of a place that's in Eretz Yisrael that had very, very good fruit. And therefore, the problem is, if it's coming from Eretz Yisrael, it's hayav in ma'asrot. And therefore, he's saying, really, it came from Azikai, came from Israel, this fruit, and therefore there was no ma'asro really taken. Shel neta reba'in. Or he comes along and says, it's actually from the fourth year of the tree's fruit, which is also asur. So in all these cases over here, the chawara, the Jew should not be allowed to buy it, either because you have isur over here of orla, or you have isur over here that there's no ma'asro taken over here, or you have a problem of neta reba'in, which is asur. So the Gemara says, "Lo amar kelum." In all the cases, you don't believe the goy, and therefore, "Lo nitkaven ela lehashbiach mikho." His sole intent over here is to elevate his product. What does it mean to elevate his product? Look at Rashi.
lo amar kedum le osram al kach, which is his testimony about his fruit is not going to osed them. Ela halach ahar harov. You go after the majority of fruits. Sheze mishakir. The guy's a liar. Why? Ulashpiyah mikhonet kavin. Which means why? The guy wants to say it's orla. Why do you benefit by saying it's orla? Because it's a young tree. A young tree, the fruit are much better than old trees. So he comes along and says, oh, this is orla. This was in the first 3 years. Don't believe him. The stamat came from the majority. The majority of the trees are not considered orla. And this guy stopped trying to beef up his product. And therefore he's coming along and saying, you know, that it's from orla. Or when he comes along and says it's from the fourth year, same thing, he wants to say that the fruit are from a young tree. A four-year-old tree is considered a young tree, as opposed to a older tree. Azikah is the name of a city in Eretz Yisrael, and the fruit were very mishubach over there. So I said, a guy selling the fruit in Chutz La'aretz, he's coming and saying, I have fruit from Azikah. I don't have to worry now that maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he didn't take Ma'asir. Maybe a Jew sold it to him, and therefore the guy's got to take really the Ma'asrot. The guy's lying. They didn't come from Azikah. They really put up the hardest. This guy's just trying to, again, drum up his product. And therefore, just like we say that the goy, in this case over here, is lying, which means we say this goy is intimidating. When the goy came along and said, hey, listen, you better cut for me some grass for my animal, or I'll kill you like I killed the other guy, he cooked for me on Shabbat. He didn't kill anybody. He's bluffing. He's just trying to intimidate the other guy to cut the grass, just like we said the guy lies in the marketplace. So therefore, what he was really saying over here, that she cannot go get married, because really the husband is alive. Now, that she gives a different interpretation over here by the situation of Azikah. Azikah, he says, is a pardes me'uzak. That's a field that is... that is fenced. Now, why would the goy say a field was fenced? So he's saying that we're talking about it was the year of Shemitah. And the year of Shemitah, everybody rummages into everybody's field because all the fields are hefker. And then he's coming along to say, listen, even though it's the year of Shemitah, I'm getting from a field that is mi'uzak. And therefore my fruit are very good. But really it's asur, because you're not allowed to fence your field into the Shemitah. So again, the Gemara says, you don't believe. Why you don't believe? Because again, he's just trying to be mashmiach his perop. And she rejects that interpretation. Because Memanashak, which means that she writes Vekashali Demai Isur Yeshkan. Memanashak. Im Avar Zmana Bi'ur Los Shinam Neveshuvah Los Shin Mufkat. Which means if it's after the time of Bi'ur that already the fruit become Asur, it doesn't matter if it's fenced or not fenced. Every field is going to be asur. Now, Vekodem Azman Elu Ve'elu Mutarim. Before the Zman Bi'ud, even if it's fenced, it's mutar. So therefore, Meman of Shech, either everything is asur, or everything is going to be mutar. So therefore, he rather the case of Azikah, Azikah is talking about a name of a city in Eretz Yisrael. And the goy was saying, what? My fruit that I'm selling in Chutz La'aretz, they come from this special city in Israel and all that. So you might think that you cannot buy them unless you start taking ma'asot. Kamash Malan, he's bluffing, and therefore he's only doing it to be mashbiach, the mekah, the product. And then just like he lies here, he's lying over there in the case of the death, that he killed the guy. Therefore the rabbi was osed his wife to remarry. Comes Gemara and continues. Abba Yudan, Ish Saidan Amar, Ma'aseh B'Yisrael Ve'oved Kuchavim Shalchu B'derech. Okay, a Jew and a goy, they're walking on the road. Uba oved kuchemim v'amar. So the goy comes along and says, "Ah, haval al Yehudi shayah imi baderech shemet baderech mekabartiv." He says, "Ah, what a shame! The guy that was walking with me on the road over there, he died, and I buried him." V'si'o ishto. And based on that, the rabbis allowed his wife to get married again. The goy is being masiyah lefitumo. Shuv maaseh bekolal shel bnei adam. There was a group of people, a band of people, shayu malkim nantochia. Right, they were going to the place called Antochia. Uba oved chavim echad ve'amar haval al kolal shel bnei adam shemetu. Oh, it's a shame. The band of people over here, of Jews, they died. The kibbutzim. Oh, v'si'u et neshotehem. And what? The rabbis allowed their wives to get married based on the testimony of the goy. V'shuv ma'aseh b'shishim bnei adam shayu mechmalkim lekarkom betar. which means they were walking from Karkom Betar, which means that's the Tashi says Kesheba'a Betar b'matzor. That was the time that the city of Betar was under siege. Right, so they're walking around to that area. Uba'ovet kukavim v'amar habal al shishim b'nei adam. Shiyom malchim b'derech Betar, they're walking by the Betar area, shemetu. V'kabartim v'esiyu et ashotahem. And the rabbis married them off. Now, Gemara doesn't ask the following question, but the Mefashim asks, what do you need three stories, really, to tell me the basic principle that why that you believe a goy, masekli fitumot. So the Hakamim said that there is a tzidikuta, which means every case is teaching you a big hadush. The first case is hadush is what? Stop! That a goy testified, that one Jew died, you believe him. The second case is not only one Jew. You can even believe when he says a band of Jews, which means the second one was kolar shel anashim. The third hadush is what? Even in a case where there was sakana, which is they were in Betar. Betar was a war-stricken area. So you might have thought that the goy is not believed because maybe he's testifying b'dedameh, which is maybe he's not sure that they died. Maybe he's just assuming because they were in Betar, which was under siege, that he's assuming they died. Kama shalom, when the goy says that they died, even in a place where there was a war-stricken zone, he still has a ne'emanut, and we don't say that he testified b'dedameh, and therefore we can't, that the rabbis married off their wives based on that edut. Comes the next Mishnah. Me'idim le'or ha'ner. Person can give testimony now that the guy died, even if it's, let's say, by the light of a candle. Ul'or ha'lebana, or let's say the moonlight. U'masi'in al-pi batkol. Even if, let's say, you don't even see the witness, you just hear his voice. Right? From far off, you hear the voice of the witness testifying that this guy died, and it's enough you can marry off his wife. There was a guy that stood on top of the mountain. Ve'amar ish pedoni ben pedoni v'makom pedoni met. Right, he testified on top of the mountain. So and so died. Halchu ve'lo matzu sham adam. So they went and they didn't find anybody on the mountain. They didn't find the guy who was saying the testimony. They see you at the store. So what? There was a guy there. They had a voice. So they went and they married her off based on the voice. Vashi. Shamu called Sarekat Ploni Met Velo Rau Adam Bitzalmo. Right, they did not see the image of a person. Shum Ma'aseh Bitzalmon, in the city of Salmon. Behad Shamar. Ani Ish Peloni Ben Peloni. He's screaming. Nashkani Nahash. I was just bitten by a snake. Vare Ani Met. I'm about to die. Velchu Velo Kiruhu. Velchu Vesi with the Stos. So they went, they saw the guy dead. But they did not recognize him. But still what? They allowed his wife to get married. Because they could assume that this is the guy that said it. Which is the guy screamed that I was just bitten by a snake. They've traced his voice. They went to that spot over there. Still have to see a guy that's bitten by a snake. Even though they didn't recognize him as the guy, he already was swelling and things like that. But still that was enough proof to the rabbis that they traced him. And therefore they would must see his wife based on this. Comes to give it on analyzes. Amar Rav Abba Shmuel Tana Bet Shammai Omrim En Masi'in Al Pi Bat Kol. Bet Shammai says you cannot be Masi'a according to a Bat Kol. You got to see the witness. The guy's got to be there. You can't testify just on a voice. Bet Omrim Masi'in Al Pi Bat Kol. Bet says no, you can even rely on a Bat Kol. Gemara says, Kamash Malan, what are you teaching me? Matnitini. Didn't we just say to Mishnah Masi'in Al Pi Bat Kol? So now you're telling me what? That it's Ma'alog Bet Shammai Bet Tanel Peshita. Obviously we're going to go like Bet Tanel. What are you adding by giving me this statement? HaKamash Ma'alan, I'm teaching you. Di Mashtakahat Stamam De'em Masi'im Bet Shammai. If you find the Stam Mishnah somewhere in Shas that's going to say what? En Masi'in Al Devre Al Yedeh Bat Kol, pay no attention to it. Why? Because it's Bet Shammai Shita. So then we had to tell you whose Shita is En Masi'in, just so you know, you won't get confused when you see a Stam Mishnah. You'll know that we don't take it. Halakha. Also, what happened? They heard about Kol. We said in the Mishnah, so they went. They traced it. When they got to the mountain, they didn't find any anybody there. So the Gemara says, "Vedilma shedava." Maybe it was a demon. How did they know there was a human being that was testifying? Maybe it was a demon that's trying to make trouble, and therefore said that the guy died. Gemara answers, "Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shedau lo demut Adam." Well, they saw the image of a person. And they didn't see the actual person himself, but they saw like the shape or the image of a person that was over there. So they knew that it was a person. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Inu name damu they also have the image of a person. The shed also looks like a human being. So that's not ayah, could be it was a shed. Now they saw the shadow, which is the guy casted a shadow. So it was So Shedim also have a shadow. They saw the shadow of the shadow. She's on a certain day, on a certain time of the day, when the sun is rising, the person casts two shadows, which is one that's close to him, one that's far from him. So therefore they saw he was casting two shadows. Oh, Vidilma Lidu itlehu bibwa de bibwa. Maybe a shed has two shadows. Amar bihanina. Amarli Yonatan Shida. Yonatan the shed once told me that what? Bibwa itlu. A shadow they have. Bibwa de bibwa litlu. But they don't have a shadow of a shadow. And therefore he was certain that what? It was not a shed. So give us wait. Vidilma tsarahavai. Maybe the testimony was the co-wife. And we learned, no, co-wife of this lady. And she wants to spoil her co-wife. She's coming along and saying, man, the guy died. What does she want? She wants this gene now to listen to this girl now to go and get married. What's going to end up happening now? Husband's really alive. She's become a sutra baal, sutra boyam. So therefore, maybe it's the tsara. So how could you trust it? So comes the Gemara and says, Tana Dvini Mishmei Beshaat Asakana Kotvim V'notnin Afan Pi She'en Makini. We have a statement that says that at the time of the Sakana and danger, that she says, Beshaat Asakana She'adam Misukan. What's the case? Kegon Mishaya Mushlach Bebod. A guy was, let's say, strewn into a pit. Ve'amar kol shomeya kolo. Anybody can hear my voice? Yichtov get lishto. Right, whoever can hear him, because he wants to give his wife a get before he dies. So what? Kodvim v'notnim. You give the get to the lady. Ve'samchinan ala bechol devarav she'omer ani hu ploni ben ploni. Which means you trust who he is. I am so and so, the son of so. You don't see the guy. Guy's over there in the pit. Shatzakana, what are you going to make the lady become an aguna now? Right. So then with Shatzakana, the rabbis were lenient that you trust the guy when he says who he is to write again. So here also in our situation, Kish'at Sakana Damya. Why? She'im lo ta'amen lezeh. If you're not going to believe this bat kol, lo timsa acher v'tashiv aguna. Lezeh remain an aguna. So what are you going to start now? You have a bat kol that comes along and says what? Obviously the husband's not around, right? So finally you got a bat kol that comes along and says he's dead. So what are you going to start saying? Well, maybe it's a shed. Maybe, okay, bibwa. Good. So we establish it's a man. Oh, maybe it's the sara. We're going to be leading to it. It's not different than the case of sakana that the rabbis loosened up their restrictions over it, just like we trust a guy in a board to come along and say, I am Peloni Ben Peloni to give a get. Otherwise, what the lady's going to be stuck over here, which is for the yibum or something like that. So, same thing over here. It's like sha'at sakana in the sense that we're going to trust the voice in order that she does not remain an aguna. Comes the next Mishnah and says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kishyarati Linahar De'al De'abir Shana. We learned this Gemara earlier. Mm-hmm. This Mishnah is when I went down to Nardea in order to make the leap year, I mean to sit on the Betin to do the leap year. Matzati Nehamya Ish Bet Dili. So I found a fellow by the name of Nehamya Ish Bet Dili, Amarli. So he said to me, Shamati She'en Masinita Isha Be'eretz Yisrael Api Edehad. So you know something, Rabbi? I heard, it's talking about Akiva. I heard in Eretz Yisrael that they don't go with the Seter of marrying a lady off on the testimony of one witness. Ela Yehuda ben Baba. The only rabbi that's lenient in Israel is Yehuda ben Baba. Venomtilo. So Rabbi Akiva says, so I told him back, Kene Devarim. You know something? You're right. Amar li. So he told Rabbi Akiva back, Emor lahem nishimi. Atem yodim shemedina mishubeshit begayasot. He says, listen, you know that we live over here, there's a lot of wars. And there's a lot of danger. And that's why I couldn't come myself to Eretz Yisrael to give you this testimony. Mekubelani, Merabban Gamliel HaZaken. But I have a tradition from Merabban Gamliel HaZaken, Shemasi'in et Aisha al pi edahad. Go tell them that the tradition is from Merabban Gamliel HaZaken that indeed one witness is enough. Ushebati v'ritziti t'amim from Merabban Gamliel. When Rabbi Akiva went back to Israel and said in front of Merabban Gamliel, which is Merabban Gamliel HaZaken's grandson, Samah lidvarai. He was very happy. Ve'amar matzanu haver Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. So that now we're Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, who's that yachid. We found him a partner. We found him a colleague that indeed agrees with him. Mitoch hadavar. In the interim, niskar Rabban Gamliel shenehergu harugim betel arza. in a place called Tel Arzad, there were certain people that were killed. So what happened? V'hisi Rabban Gamedo Shetehen Api Edehad. So based on the testimony he just got from Rabban Gamedo Zaken, he went and he married off there. Why? Based on the testimony of what? Of one witness. V'uzeku Niyot Masi'in. Not only did that, but they had a hazakah that they were Masi' Ed Mepi Ed. Not only a direct witness, but a witness that heard from a witness. Mepi Eved, or let's say that you heard it from a Eved, or Mepi Isha, Mepi Shifha. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yehoshua Omrim, En Masin Ta Isha Al Pi Edehad. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yehoshua Mahmid, they say we do not allow a lady to get married according to the testimony of one witness. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo Al Pi Isha, Velo Al Pi Eved, Lo Al Pi Shifha, Velo Al Pi Kerubim. Rabbi Akiva says, well, we will leave Edehad, but we're not going to leave Pisulei Edut. And therefore he said, that'll be Isha, Eved, Shifha, or Kirubim. So we have two shittot. Some say we believe everybody. Some say we don't believe anybody. And some say, depends. We believe in the Abba, we're not going to believe people that are Pasul. Comes the Gemara and says, V'sabar Rabbi Akiva, Api Isha, lo? What do you mean? You tell me that when Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that a lady is kashir to give a testimony that the husband died? So comes the Gemara and says, "V'atanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar ben Rabbi Akiva, Isha ne'emenet lehavi gita, which means she's allowed to bring her get midinat hayam from overseas. Now, even though she has to say befanai nichtav." She has to say that the get was written in front of me, the get was signed in front of me. She's able to bring the get. Look at Nashi, David Gita, Mimidatayam, Vafapish, Shirichim Anu, Lema Amar Pia, right? We need her verbal declaration. Shitomad, Bifanai Nichtav. Which means anybody has to say this when they bring the get, they have to say before Nechtam. Oh, how do you know this? How does Rabbi Akiva make care that we can take the lady's testimony? So she's really the shaliach of the husband. She's bringing the get. She's going to deliver it to the betin. She's tied to baby. This is the get that my husband gave me before I left Nechtam. And what? The betin will be the shaliach of the husband to give it to the wife. So she's believed in all this. What's the ne'emanut of the lady in such a case? So Rabbi Akiva says, Mikav v'chomer. Uma nashim she'amru hachamim. Which means, when it came to the ladies that the hachamim said, En ne'emanut nomar met ba'la. Right? They would say five ladies. Do not have a ne'emanut because they have animosity. And therefore they do not have a ne'emanut. But still what? Ne'emanim davi giten, which means still have a ne'emanut to bring the get for each other. Which means, but they might not have a ne'emanut to gabe met ba'ala, but they do have a ne'emanut to bring get for each other, and we're not choshesh that what with gabe the kitin that they're intending to mekalkel. So zu she'ne'emanet lomar met ba'ala. This lady herself, that she does have a ne'emanut to gabe met ba'ala. Or the more so she should believe to say what? That she can bring her get. Also, what is that mashma? Nashim she'amru hakamim udelo mehemne. Meaning, it's only the other ladies that have animosity, they don't have emanut. But isha be'alma mehemna. Which is a regular lady that's not a soneh, she has a emanut. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva, how could you come along and say that the Isha doesn't have a ne'emanut? Right? You said that Api Isha is no good. What are you talking? You made a kal vachomer that what? That she's believed to bring the get. Why is she believed to bring the get? Kal vachomer. And what? Ladies that are not ne'eman to say mit, but are believed to say ye get, the get is okay. Certainly this lady that is ne'emanet, certainly she should be. So you see what? The lady is believed that we'll have to say, Med ba'ala. Now we learned above, Stam, why are the son'ot believed the gabe get? Because it's not that they're being matir. It's the get that's being matir. Which means, By a soneh, why don't we believe a testimony? Because she herself is giving a testimony. She's saying, mit. So we're relying on your words. Your words have no validity. You're a soneh. Masha'en ken by get, she's got a paper in her hand. So like we said the Gemara above, get mochiah. Oh, but how do you answer the question to Rabbi Akiva? So Gemara says, dakashya. Kan kodim she'ehziku, kan le'achar she'ehziku. Which means, we learned that in Eretz Yisrael, there were two periods of time. There was a period of time where they did not be masi al pi edehad, and then there was a later period that they were. So when did Rabbi Akiva say that we're not going to believe Edut Isha? That was before they had a tradition. That was when they were osir. However, they changed their minhag after the Magen Lezakin made the Edut. So therefore, Rechirami Isha would be permissible. Look at Rashi. No, actually, he just explains over here that, right, it was before and after. Okay, comes the next Mishnah. Amru no. Okay, so the Hachamim came along and they tell the Bi'akiva. The Bi'akiva said in the last Mishnah that what? Isha is not ne'emenet. Ma'ase b'bnei Levi. Shehalku le'tso'ar ir ha'temarim. They went to a place called Tso'ar. It was the city of Temarim. V'chala, echad mehem, one of them got sick on the road. V'bi'uhu b'pundak. So they put him like in an inn, in a hotel, until they got back. U'b'chazratam, amru b'pundakit. So they told the innkeeper, ayeh haverinu, where's our friend? Nomet lahem. So what did she tell them? Met ukbartiv. The guy died and I buried him. V'si'u etishto. And what happened? So they allowed his wife to get married. Velo tehe kohenet kepundakit, which means you're going to make a kohenet, let's say, or a bat yisrael for that matter. You're going to make them worse than the pundakit, which is if on a regular innkeeper, you're allowing already to have a ne'emanut, correct? So now you're ready, you're going to... Now we have to see why is a pundakit worse. I mean, the chavra, she's Jewish. For some reason, we're saying that a pundakit should have a worse ne'emanut. So the Gemara is saying, if you believe a pundakit, you believe an innkeeper. What? You're not going to leave a bat yisrael or a bat kohen? So Amar lehu. So this is the Akiva answer. Lichteh kefundakit, which means you're right. When she will have the status of a pundakit, ne'emanet. Which means you're right. Which means. When she is like a pundakit, then we'll treat the kohenet or a bat yisrael in that manner. Look at Nashi.
Different text.
Right, there's different text. So let's start Nashi's here. Amru lo Rabbi Akiva ma'asim b'nei Levi. Nomit lahem amra lahem ve'lo te kohenet kolomar. V'chi lo te bat yisrael o kohenet miyuhesed ne'emer kepundakit zu giru'a. ובגמרא מפרש מה גירותה, גמרא מספר, why she גירועה this פונדקית? אמר לרבי עקיבא, לכשתי פונדקית נאמרת, כלומר, לכשימסה דבר זה אמת, שמינו את הפונדקית, שרי לא עליה סמכו. Really, we're not even relying on the פונדקית either, רבי עקיבא says, אלא לפי תומה השיחה. They're not relying on a testimony, they're just relying on her nonchalant talk. וביאה להם מקלו ותרמילו. And also she brought his stick and his satchel. Then we're ready, we have a ne'emanut. Then she brings from the Sefarim Ahayrim, L'chshteheh kepundakit ne'emanet, kelomar, be'oto inyan she'emino pundakit, ha'vina mish'ar isha ne'emanet, she'le pundakit utziya lehen, v'asimanim sarach. Which means, you're right, whatever we trusted by the pundakit, we're going to believe it regularly Yisrael. Yisraelit, meaning she brought simanim. And since she brought simanim, so we're not relying on her. We're relying on the... the simanim that she brought. So comes the Gemara and says, why? Gemashta, ha-pundakit otziya lehem maklo ve-tadmilo ve-sefer Torah shehaya biyado. And since she brought all those goods out, the Akiva says, what are you talking about? We're not relying on the pundakit. So in Echirami, any lady that brings out these goods will also have the same ne'emanut. Comes the Gemara and says, my giri'uta de pundakit. Why would I think a pundakit is any worse? Which means the Lashon of the Mishnah was what? That, how could you believe a pundakit? Right? Which means, if you can believe a pundakit, certainly you should believe a regular Yisraelit. Well, what's the giri utav a pundakit? So the Gemara comes along and says, Amar Rav Kana, pundakit oved kochavim haita. Oh, she was a goya. U'masiyah lefi tuma haita. And the reason why they believe that, because she was masiyah lefi tuma. And as we learned, she also brought simanim to prove it. Ze maklo, veze tarmilo, veze kevesh kmatibo. Nechen tari abba bered rav binyomi barhiya, pundakit ovid kukavim haita, ovisiha lefitoma haita, ze maklo, veze tarmilo, veze kevesh kmatib, bo, comes the Gemara, what do you mean, masiha lefitomo? She was just talking naturally, but didn't they ask her? Veha, aye haverinu kamra la. Didn't they tell her, hey, where's our friend? So already they're asking a question. And therefore, she didn't open the conversation. She's already being prompted answering a question. So comes the Gemara and says, Kevan de hazitin hu bachya, which means when they came back to the pundak, already they saw that she broke out in tears. So already, without asking anything, she herself started to cry. Amrula aye haverinu. So that prompted them to say, oh, what happened? Where's our friend? And therefore, Amra lehem, metu kibartiv. And therefore, since she started already to hint the subject on her own before she was prompted with a question, therefore she has a ne'emanut, even though later they interrogated and they asked her questions, she still has a deen of Masiyah, lefi tumo. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ma'ase be'adam echad sheba la'id ala isha. You have a fellow that came to give a testimony on isha that her husband died. I wanted the matina to get married. Lefnei Rabbi Tarfon, in front of Rabbi Tarfon. Amar lo beni, heyach ata yodea be'edut isha zu. How do you know testimony? They're giving testimony. How do you know exactly what happened to this guy's, to the husband? Amar ani vehu, hayinu holchim baderech. We were both on the road. Ve'radaf acharenu gayas, which means we were being chased by a troops or soldiers. Vinitla, and he got hung biyichud shel zayit on a certain branch of a olive tree. Ufshaho, and what he cut it? He cut the branch down to make from it like a stick, a walking stick. Ve'azir et gayas la'achoraf. And he caused the gayas to, or the troop to, go from behind. Nashi, second line. Nashi has a little gisa over here. V'nitla biyichud shel te'ena, achaz benof shel te'ena, which means, my friend, he took the stick from the date tree, according to a fig tree, he pulled it off the branch, and he made a stick out of it. And he tried to shoo away the troop. Okay? No, he went by the him and his friend were walking, they saw a tree, so the guy grabbed a stick like and he
broke it off
the tree and pushed the guy from behind him. No. I take it back. He pushed it. Okay. He broke it off. Okay? Okay? What happened? V'yachzir et hagayas l'acharav. Good, he got rid of the gayas. Amarti lo. I told him, you're a lion. What a great thing you are. Yishar kohacha. You know, your strength should be fortified. Rashi gibor hayil velev ariyeshtecha. You're a strong guy, you have the heart of a lion. So he comes along and says, Amari minayita yodesh ariyeshemi. How do you know that's my name, Ariyeh? Kach korinoti bi'iri. That's what they call me in my town. Yohanan b'Rabbi Yonatan Aryeh t'mikifar shihaya. So what happened? The Yamim Hala, which is afterwards, that guy got sick, vomit, and therefore, Aryeh, v'si Rabbi Tarfon itishto. So then what the Rabbi Tarfon is, how do you know the testimony of this guy? So what do you mean? I was with the guy. I know the guy. He told me his name even, Aryeh. He told me that's his name, and then he got sick. Which means he gave all the details of the story. So comes the Gemara and says, "V'Rabbi Tarfon lo ba'e drisha v'hakira," which means, what about drisha v'hakira? Which means you have to ask him questions to cross-examine to see exactly if he knows all the details. Which is drisha is different types of questions to make sure that he's not lying. Or changing his testimony. Hakira, you can ask him about the exact time that it happened, and the day, and things like that. So therefore, he didn't ask him those questions. V'hat tanya ma'aseh ba'adam echad shema'adam nebi tarfon ha'ayin edut isha. Amar lo beni, What are you testifying? Amar li ani vehu einu olchim baderech v'nadaf acharei gayas v'nitla biyichud te'ena. Same story. Right? He took the te'ena branch, ufshacho, and he grabbed it off the tree to make a stick. He's the gayas acharav, and he chased the guy away. Amarti lo yishar kohacha arye. I said, "Well, you're a lion." Amar li yafiki bat nishvi shekakol yoti be'iri Yohanan ben Yonatan arye de bekvar shehaya liyamim hala umet. Amar lo, so the Bittavon kept on saying, lo kach amarti li, which means, you didn't tell me that before, Yohanan ben Yonatan, the mekefar shihaya aryeh, which means, you told me that the guy's name is different, you told me his name is Yohanan ben Yonatan, that comes from the kfar that's called aryeh, which means, you first time you told me what, the guy's name is aryeh. But you once told me that what? That the guy's city is Aryeh. So make up your testimony. Amar le, lo. So he comes along and says, no, it's not so. The name of the city is not Aryeh. Ela kach amarti lecha. I told you, Yohanan ben Yonatan Aryeh, the Kfar Shehaya. What are you tricking me? I told you the guy's name is Aryeh from Kfar Shehaya. Vedekdek alav shnayim u'shlosha pe'amim. He's tricking him. He's trying to ask him, what do you mean? The guy's name is Aryeh or the place is Aryeh? What are you talking about? I told you the guy's name is Aryeh. He's trying to see if I changed my mind. He really, the guy's name is, he wanted to see if he's going to be consistent. So he was being bodekin, right? Did he shot the hakirot? So Gemara said, he did it three times. V'chivere devarav, v'esir, v'itarfon, v'eshto. So what do you see over here? It's not enough just to ask him, how do you know? You have to really make the short hakirot. So the Gemara says, you're right, Tanaehi. It's actually a machloket Tanaim. If the ladies, if the witnesses that are coming to give testimony on Edut Isha, if indeed they need a Isha and Hakira, and the machloket is in the Bitarfon. She's a machloket Tanaim. Does the Bitarfon matzrich Isha and Hakira? Or not, the Tanya, and Bodkin, Aden, Nashim, Isha and Hakira, the Bitarfon over. Modkin, which means we have a machloket tanaim over here. If nashim really need a nisha v'hakira, and the machloket as we're going to see is really in Rabbi Tarfon, as we'll see now. The Tanya in modkin and the nashim, but nisha v'hakira Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon says modkin. Let's read Rashi. Lo akach amarti li Yohanan ben Yonatan dores v'hoker haya ulai yafoch devarav. He's trying to trick him up. Maybe he'll do the reverse. לא כך אמרת לידי בכפר שהיה אריה, שכפר היו קוראים אריה ולא אותו, תרישה בדיקות כי הגענו לכוון את המערב, חכירה באיזה יום ואיזה שעה. Good. So now the Gemara comes along and says, תנאי, it is indeed a מחלוקת, תנאי, meaning if indeed רבי טרפון needs דרישה וחקירה, meaning interrogation by עדות אישה, or does he not? The Tanya and Bodkin Aden Nashim Bidrisha Bahakira Atavre Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that when it comes to the Ed that testifies that the husband died, you do not need an interrogation. Now, Rashi tells us that Dirisha means the regular questions that you ask him to make sure that he's consistent in his testimony, and Hakira means which day, which time, which hour. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, Bodkin. Rabbi Tarfon says, indeed, why? You are Bodkin. Now, this is not the normal Tana'eh. Because normally when we explain a Tana'eh, it means that we're going to show you that there's two Tana'im that argue in what Rabbi Tarfon said. Here the Gemara says Tana'eh, and it brings us two opinions, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Although you have to say that the two Braitot that we brought earlier, in relating the episode of that fellow that testified about a guy, his name was Aryeh. So one Braita said, what, that you do not have to, that he didn't interrogate him. The second writer said, he did. So right there you have two Tanaic statements in Rabbi Tarfon. Did he interrogate or didn't he interrogate? So the Gemara only over here is just bringing one writer to support that side that holds that Rabbi Tarfon holds you indeed have to interrogate. So the Gemara says, what's the logic? The source of the argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, meaning you have to interrogate by Edut of Isha, is subject really to the Machlok of Rabbi Hananya. Damar Rabbi Hananya, or Hanina, Devar Torah, meaning Menat Torah, Echad Yineim Amorot Vechad Yineim Fashot, Bidishah B'Hakira. Both monetary cases and capital punishment cases need interrogation. Shnei Emar Mishpat Echad Yeyeh Lachem. This is when the Torah talks about the monetary laws, it says mishpat ehad. There's one unified law. And we know by capital punishment cases that there needs an interrogation by the witnesses. So therefore, just like by dinin nefashot, there's an interrogation. The pasuk says mishpat ahat. There's one unified law. So therefore, applies also by dinin mamonot. Umata amru dinin mamonot in tzadikim dirisha b'hakila. So why did the rabbis then come along and say that dinin mamonot does not need interrogation? Shelot in ol delit b'fnei lavin, because we do not want to close the doors in front of borrowers. What does that mean? Because if a person, let's say, is going to know that his witnesses are going to be interrogated, the malve is not going to lend money. Why is he not going to lend money? Because he'd be worried about the following scenario. He's going to lend money, let's say, the malve to the love. Right? They come to Beit Din, the love is going to come along and say, I didn't borrow any money from you. So, what's the law? The malve has got to bring proof that really money's coming to him. So what is he going to do? He's going to bring witnesses. Oh, now he knows that his witnesses have to go through the dirisha v'hakira process. So they're going to grill them. They're going to ask them more questions. And it's possible with all the interrogations, they're going to trip them up. And if his witnesses are going to be disqualified, he's not going to get his money. So what's going to end up happening? He's going to say, you know what? I'm not lending money.
No more.
So therefore, it's going to cause the door to be shut in front of borrowers, which means people are not going to get loans as a result. Mifnei Lovin, the Malveh is not going to supply loans because he doesn't think he's going to get his money back, thinking that what? In the case that the Loveh is going to be kofir, the witnesses that he brings are going to be tripped up in an interrogation. So that's why the rabbis instituted no interrogation of witnesses by Mamonot. Oh, so now the Gemara says, so that's the Hanina's opinion. By Dine Mamonot, the rabbis instituted no interrogation. So the question is, how does that apply to Dine? How does this apply to Edut Isha? So Gemara says, Mor sabar kevan di'ika ketubal mishkal kedine Mamonot lamer. Which means, according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says what? You do not have an interrogation. Why don't you have an interrogation? Because he looks at the Edut Isha like a monetary case. Why is it Edut Isha a monetary case? Because as a result of the ruling that they testified that her husband died, she now gets a ketubah. She gets money from that. Because the ketubah says, in the event that you'll be allowed to marry somebody else, there's a Tanai that says you get the payment of the ketubah. So therefore, we look at an Edut Isha case like a monetary case because it's hinging on the ketubah payment. So therefore, just like Mamonot, there is no Dirisha v'hakira. So to buy Edut Isha, there is no Dirisha v'hakira. Umor Saba, Reza Bitarfono, at least in one opinion, Kevan de Kasherin and Eshet Ishla Alma, Kedin de Fashot Dame. What's the real main testimony, the main result, I should say, of the testimony of that the husband died? The main testimony is that she can get remarried. That's the main point. The ketubah is a byproduct of that. But the main testimony is allowing her to get married. Now, if she's considered eshet ish, and she goes to get married to somebody else, that's a capital crime, which means she's punishable by mitat henik, by strangulation. And therefore, this testimony here actually has a capital punishment angle to it. Therefore, it's like dirin nefashot. And just like dirin nefashot, you have dirishah v'hakira, so too you're going to have dirishah v'hakira by the case of Edut Isha. Now, the Rishonim over here discuss that according to the opinion that says, let's say it's a ketubah payment, right? So the, first of all, you see that that doesn't apply in certain cases because there's not always a ketubah payment involved in Edut Isha. For example, by a nisuale that was married, that now you testify her husband died, of course she gets a ketubah. But if she's an arusa, if she was only engaged, there is no a ketubah by an engaged lady, but still the law is that we do believe Edut Isha. So the question is, would he hold that you don't need Dirisha v'hakira even when there's no monetary? So the Yishim come along and say, lo pilug. That once already they came along and said, you don't need Dirisha v'hakira, they did not make a haluk between Nisu'a and Arusa. They said in all cases, Dirisha v'hakira is not necessary. It should be noted that why don't they reckon with the Dirin Fashot factor? Which means, why should they say they shouldn't have Dirisha v'hakira because of the monetary? Don't they admit that there's a dinin of a short factor, which is the rechenik factor that they're matiting over to get married? So they'll come along and say that bizman hazeh, there is no really dinin of a short. Therefore, we're talking about bizman hazeh, where there's no capital punishment necessarily. So really, the only halachic nafkamina that comes out, lemaaseh, in today's day and age, is the monetary. Right? Because even if she went with ishetish, nobody's giving her chenik. So therefore, he looks at it as a solely a monetary, where the other rabbi says, no, the monetary is secondary to the main judgment. The main judgment is what you're matiting in ishetish. Once already you're matiting an ishtish lashuk, then already she gets a ketubah payment. So therefore they look at it more as the dinir fashut, meaning it has an aspect of dinir fashut, even though it might not be able to be enforced, but the aspect is there, and therefore they look at it as from the dinir fashut side. And according to that side, it would not be no difference between an arusa and a nisua. So therefore that shita benefits that it's clean on both sides, because it's the dinir fashut also, if an arusa goes with somebody else, she's also Hayav Mita. So for the Dinir Fashot side covers both the Arusa and the Nisu'an. The Gemara concludes, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hanina, Tamidei Chachamim Rabbim Shalom Ba'olam, Shne'emar, Nechod Banaich, Nemodei Adonai, Ve'rab Shalom Banaich. The Gemara concludes and says, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, name of Hanina, Tamidei Chachamim, scholars that study Torah, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, they promote peace into the world, like the Pasuk says, V'chol Banaich Limudei Hashem, all your children that are Limudei Hashem are studying the word of God, V'rav Shalom Banaich, there's a great promotion of peace amongst your children. The Gaon Mevilna points out over here that four Masechtot in Shas actually finish with the same conclusion with this Nirasha of Tamidei HaChachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. And those Masechtot are Masechet Berachot, Masechet Nazir, Masechet Yevamot, and Masechet Kiritut. And he says an acronym to remember that, Rashi Tevot V'chol Banayich, Limudei Hashem. The word Banayich is Rashi Tevot Berachot, Nazir, Yevamot, and Kiritut. So the Mefashim explain why specifically those Masechtot end with this phrase, Tamidei HaChachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. So they explain that there's basically four different types of peace that a person must pursue in his life. The first type of peace is peace between man and his creator, ben adam lamakom. And that's signified in Masechet Berachot. Why? Because the main thrust of Masechet Berachot is talking about the laws of Kiryat Shema, accepting upon himself the yoke of heaven, tefillah, connecting himself to God in prayer. And therefore, that's the connection that we bond in ben adam lamakom. And therefore, the Gemara ends, Tamidei HaChachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. We must make peace, what? With our creator. Masechet Nazir talks about the law of a person that makes a vow of abstention from drinking wine and from cutting his hair. The Gemara in Sota says, why would a person make such an abstention? So the Gemara says, Kol haro'eh sota b'kilkula yazid et asmo min hayayin. Which means when a person goes and sees, God forbid, a sota, a lady that was unfaithful to her husband, and she's in the Beit HaMikdash, and she drinks the bitter waters, and she blows up as a result of it, he must abstain from drinking wine. Why? Because where does a lady become promiscuous and immoral and become unfaithful? Probably started because she drank some wine, and therefore she was a little lightheaded, and therefore she was able to do such a crime. So therefore the Nazir reminds us of Shalom bin Ish le'ishto, domestic tranquility, peace between man and his wife. And therefore the Gemara concludes in the second Nazir, the second type of peace that we must pursue. Shalom ba'olam, what type of peace? Bin Ish le'ishto, Shalom bayit. And then we have, of course, our Masechet Yevamot, which talks about the Shalom ben Adam l'Havero, between man and his fellow man. Why? Because the whole thrust of the Masechet is about a brother that died and now leaves his wife widowed. And we learn how the brother of the deceased goes along in an act of Hesed and marries his sister-in-law. For one reason, in order to continue to perpetuate the brother's name in the descendants. And then that's the ultimate chesed that a brother can do for the deceased. So you see the camaraderie between Ben Adam and Havero. That's another form of peace. Therefore the Gemara ends, Tamidei HaChachamim Shalom Ba'olam Ben Adam Havero. And last but not least, a person has to make peace with himself, with his soul. What does that mean? That means God forbid if a person committed a sin, and now he's Hayaf Karet, God forbid, therefore the soul is going to be cut off from the next world. And therefore they say there's no peace between man and his soul, because the goof, the physical body, has caused the soul to lose its connection to eternal life. And if a person has to make peace with the soul, how does he do that? Of course he makes teshuvah, he makes repentance, and therefore there is a shalom. And that's what Masechet Kiritut Keneh 2 talks about all the laws of karet, and therefore it ends with Tamidei Chachamim Shalom, that they make teshuvah, and therefore there is an inner peace between the man and his soul. It should be noted that when the Gemara says Tamidei Chachamim Marim Shalom, the question is asked why. Why specifically Tamidei Chachamim Marim Shalom? Why are they the promoters of peace? And the explanation might be said that when a person is involved in a higher calling, and a person is involved in an idealistic pursuit of wisdom, so a lot of the other trivial things in life that bother most people don't bother him, because he's obsessed with the limud, and therefore it elevates the person, which means different trivialities of people might feel slighted, and they weren't invited to a certain function, or you know somebody wronged them in a certain way. Well, when a person is not involved in Torah, so he becomes a kabdan, he becomes very particular, and you know he becomes very offended very easily. But those that are studying Torah, they don't have time to let those other things bother them, because they know they have a higher calling. Their mind is engrossed, and they're in a different world. Their mind is in Olam Haba. So a lot of the things of Olam Hazeh really pass by them. If I can give a mashal, just so we can appreciate it, is of a fellow's in a store, and he's by the register, and he's collecting a lot of money. There's a lot of customers there, and the money's coming in, and of course, his mind is overtaken by all the money that he's making. And then his wife calls him in the interim and tells him, listen, so-and-so didn't invite us to a wedding. So at that point, the guy says, who cares? Because he's involved in a greater passion. He's getting all this money over here, so it doesn't bother him. Lavdil, when a person studies Torah, so he's thinking of all the reward that he's going to get. He thinks he's connecting to God. So what can mean anything? The only thing that bothers such a person is he going to learn? Did he come to the shiur? Did he understand what he was reading? And therefore, Tamidei Chachamim Marim Shalom Ba'alam, they are the true promoters of peace because they're above it, and therefore they are not involved in mahloket. Hadran ala ha'isha batra v'slik ala nasechet yevamot.